Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, a guest speaker is going to bring a special message for the church. Here is this week's special message.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you today?
Fine.
Good. I'm going to move this a little bit here. So it's been a rich day already today, so that's incredibly good, and God's at work, and So let me pray now so that I kind of focus in here. Lord, I pray for clarity of thought now. I pray for your spirit to speak. Lord, we thank you that you are the Lord of this church, that you are the Lord of each of us. Thank you that your presence is here and it's rich and it's thick. We just ask you to speak today as we talk about live in you. What it looks like to live in your presence, how walking with you works out into our lives and relationships. And so we just pray that you touch each person. Father, we pray that you would interpret what's being said to each person. Father, each of us are so unique and so incredibly complex and beautiful. And each of us has a little different need today to really hear what you're up to. I pray that you would interpret what's said to each person right now, as you always do. And we thank you that you are the one who's the Lord. And so you always have that gem of wisdom, of love, of presence, of what the future holds, what you are saying, and just the richness of your word and the treasure of your word, that each person is able to hear what you are saying to them very clearly. And so we just pray for open spirits today and open minds to hear what you're up to. And through that, Lord, I just pray that you would continue, as June talked about today, continue the healing of our bodies to reflect your glory and your presence. So we just give you praise and honor and glory today in Jesus' name. So we're going to talk today about Ephesians 5 and 6. And so kind of continuing on our little series in Ephesians here. And this is kind of packed through. Ephesians 5 and 6 is really packed with information and things are going on. And I kind of tried to summarize what's going on with it. And it's really the idea in Ephesians 5 and 6 is Paul talking about what does it mean to walk out living in God? What does it look like in life? What does it look like in relationships? What does it look like in how we think through things, approach life? What does it look like? You know, how does it practically affect us, right? And so, you know, it's this incredible spiritual world that God talks about in the Scripture that's so massive to folks outside that maybe don't believe yet or investigating. It kind of maybe looks small sometimes or it looks weird, but there's such richness and glory and power that comes when we do walk with God. And we realize that he's the creator of everything and that everything is brought from him. And so once you get into it, it expands. You know, the presence of the kingdom expands in a massive way. Like Jesus talked about the mustard seed, which starts very small, and then it becomes massive, right? And so the kingdom of God is that very same way. So today we're talking about, from the Scriptures, we're talking about what that small thing begins to expand to in our lives. And what that means in terms of our relationships, in terms of the way we live life, in terms of the way that we think through things. So we're going to do that. So Twyla, if you wouldn't mind putting up Ephesians 5:1, and Twyla had up the AMP. What is that? The Amplified version.
Yeah.
Twyla. So she put it up there. So I said, let's go ahead and keep that. I normally like the NIV, but let's go ahead and do it. So let's all read this together, and let's go ahead and read the in the parentheses as well. Okay, that's not scripture, that's the amplified, you know, amplifying things, but let's go ahead and read that and together as we go. So, therefore, become imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children, imitate their father, and walk continually in love, that is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. So Paul again is basically saying the overall framework here is to operate sacrificially in a healthy way, to be aware of God, to understand Him, and he's going to say in this chapter to draw our power from Him, right? Not so much from ourselves, although He wants good things for us, and He wants us to have good power, right? But the real essential is the power from Him to be able to be a different person, to honor God, to bless God, and to be cordial and caring, to be genuinely loving, to be a net contributor, right, to situations, rather than a person that takes. Now, there are times when we're a taker, we need to be loved and cared for. There's times that we receive. That's a great thing too. But net, it's like our goal is to be with God and to be net contributors to situations, to let the kingdom expand and grow in honor and blessing. And so this is our DNA. This becomes our DNA as we walk with God and are present to Him. This then just becomes what we do. We enjoy it because it just becomes natural to try to become a net contributor. It just becomes natural. We enjoy that because God is present even more to us when we become like Him, being generous and caring. And so it becomes that vibrant place, right? That vibrant place of power, of intimacy, of love, becomes that vibrant place where the good things are flowing in the kingdom, right? And we are tasting heaven short of heaven. We're tasting heaven here. But yet we're feeling just that incredible supernatural, the comprehensiveness of God's goodness, right? We're feeling it touch all parts of us. And when we're in that place and being generous like Him, then He flows His goodness and grace and power through us. And everything then becomes rosy in the right kind of way. It's not that we're Pollyanna and we're trying to make things up or, you know, not understand reality where things are difficult. No, it's not that at all. We understand those things. But it is all within the glory of God's presence. It's all within the glory of His future. It's all within the glory of Him healing now and even more healing us fully one day. It's all within the context of God's massive creative outpouring. I mean, again, He created this entire world. Everything we understand, He created it by simply speaking it into existence. Speaking it into existence, as Genesis talks about. You know, He gives the word, basically create or be, become, right? Become, He says. And therefore then, you know, everything that we see and do, the massive mountains, you know, the sky, the oceans, the massive things that have occurred, He simply speaks into being. And we then become in the position through Christ to be able to have Him say to us, become who I want you to be. Become that. You are becoming that, and I will. I choose that you become solid in me. I choose that you come into the passion of my presence. I choose that. I want that. And I will have it because you are choosing good and honor. And so this is an incredible privilege for us. You know, it's the essence of why we were created. I mean, we were created to love God and be loved by God at first. That's the first thing. So when your desire is to honor Him and bless Him and be in His presence and to be glorified by Him, right? Really, that's our destiny, is to be glorified by God. I mean, He's the big one, but it's like He wants us to be many, many Christs. He wants us to be like Him. So He wants us to have that confidence to really step into great things. He wants us to have that confidence to do the incredible things that He wants. Okay. So this is what He's going to talk about in Ephesians. He's going to talk about this in Ephesians 5 and 6. So we're going to look at today probably three ways that this really works itself out in the day-to-day, all right? So we're going to talk about three ways walking with God works itself out in the day-to-day. So the first one is living purely. Is that what we have up there, Twyla? Good. As we've already talked about, you know, the focus is focusing on God and seeing what He has coming for us. So the center always is, as I just kind of talked about, focusing on God, not letting our own decisions about who we are or the future be the final word, right? Because all sorts of things happen to us, right? We've had good things told to us. We've had bad things told to us. We've had judgments against us. We've had people that have been reacting out of their own woundedness, their own pain. And some of them have been malicious. Some have been evil, right? There are people like that out there. And so we've been told things, you know. It's like you never amount to anything. You're ugly, right? It's like you'll never be able to do this thing. You're such a failure at this place, right? These things are told to us. And especially when we're young, it's like we take that in and integrate that into who we think that we are. Because, you know, an adult, especially our parent or someone that's important to us, when they say something to us, that's important. And we're young, we have no framework to really say, grid work to say, well, that's a good thing, that's true, and that's honoring to God, or, boy, that's a bad thing that's going to hurt me, right? So we take on these ideas like, I may never be successful, or I'm not lovable because of whatever. I'm not lovable because I do this or that, right? You know, there's so many things that go on. There's so many comments that are made to us, and there's so many things we say to ourselves, right? When we oh, man, I messed that up again. It's like, I'll never get that. I'll never be able to do that. You know, or, you know, it's like, oh, I can't connect with this person. It's like, it's probably my fault. It's probably all my fault. No. Relationships always go two ways. And the thing that's so important is to understand that God is in the process of redeeming us into greater places. So he loves us even with the judgments we've made about ourselves or other people have made. He loves us even in that place. So it's like, it's okay. Everything's okay. And yet as I move forward, it's like he wants to see his power come in. And so those judgments I made about myself that are negative, he wants to start changing them, morphing them into glory. He wants to start morphing them into being confident in the Lord and present to him so that I can then become more and more confident in myself and how I interact with other people, right? We can see God's glory more and more as he moves forward. And so we're going to talk about that. So living purely, focus on God and live from his heart. So the scriptures we're going to talk about here really summarizes: we don't get our energy from the unhealthy things of this world, but from God's purity. So that's going to be the focus here. So we're going to look at the negative part first, then we're going to get to the positive. So Twyla, if you want to pop to Ephesians 5, starting at 3. So, but sexual immorality and all moral impurity or greed must not even be hinted at among you. So let's just go over that, stop that quick. So sexual immorality, so we want marriage, we want sex within marriage between man and woman, hopefully before the Lord. But even if it's not before the Lord, sexual activity should be between people that are married and committed in the Lord, right? Any impurity, indecent offensive behavior, so things that a lot of people in the world get energy from, you know, excessive partying or doing things they shouldn't be doing, right? Okay, that's not the kind of energy we're after. Okay, now they're pagans, a lot of them, so it's like we understand they're going to do pagan things, okay? But I don't want to do that. Not that I'm looking down at them, because I've done some of those things myself, but I just, it's like now I understand God, so I don't want to be getting my energy from those places anymore, right? And if I am, then I just need to say, Lord, please help me figure out how to get energy from you. Jesus, please love me in such a way that I don't have to go out and get energy in those unhealthy places, in those sinful places, right? That's his thing. He's not being a killjoy. He's not trying to hammer us here. He's simply saying, there's a greater love and power in me, so these other things, put them away, because they're not going to do it for you in the end, right? That's the power of him. Okay, so put away offensive behavior, indecent things, or greed. So when we're greedy, you know, obviously we're valuing money and what we can get with money above being present to God. So if we're trying to take money without working fairly for it or doing a fair trade, you know, kind of the free market thing in that way, right? If we're not providing, you know, worth for the value we get back in terms of money and all those sort of activities, economic things, then I can become greedy. So we don't want to go there. We don't want to have that idol before the Lord. Greed must not even be hinted at among you, as is proper among saints. So he's simply saying, it's like we want to try. And again, I'm guilty of conversation and jokes and stuff. I can get a little cynical and sarcastic, right? But it's like I'm trying to work on being present to God, so there's less and less of that, you know? So it's like, not even be hinted at among you, as is proper among saints. And the Amplified says, for as believers, our way of life, whether in public or private, reflects the validity of our faith. That's a powerful little thing. So our behavior reflects how valid our faith really is, right? Let there be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse, obscene or vulgar joking, because such things are not appropriate for believers, but instead speak of your thankfulness to God. So, you know, Paul's basically saying, just remember where you're at, get your energy from God, and then you don't have to connect with people in those ways. You don't have to connect with people in terms of talking about things that are inappropriate, right? And again, God understands when we make mistakes in this, or we're in process. We're all in process on this stuff. So that's fine, right? But we're looking towards the ideal of being in God's presence and letting His power impact how things operate out of our mouth. All right? So go ahead and pop the next one, Twyla. For be sure of this, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, for that one is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Okay? And the Amplified is good here. For such a person places a higher value on something other than God. That's the key, right? That's the key. So whenever we're operating, living to a different standard, living to something in the world, you know, money, sex, power, inappropriate relationships, whatever else you want to put in there, right? We're placing a higher value on something other than God. That's the key, okay? Cannot be. God cannot exist over time with that. God has to be number one, because he's purely beautiful and gracious and powerful. And he's pure generosity. And so if I'm putting something else in front of him, I'm essentially being a dark star. I'm sucking energy, right? But we want to be with God. We want to be generating energy. We want to be net positives in situations. We want to give thanks to God. Giving thanks to God is the most clear aspect of that. But then even beyond that, it's like having positive conversation about improvement, about you know, complimenting the good things that people are doing, finding a way to really speak to people's spirits, to bless what God is up to in them, to see them and bless them and care for them, to really see them and speak what we think of them and encourage in the Lord. Those things are all treasures. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments that encourage you to sin, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience, which means those that habitually sin and set themselves against God deliberately over time, right? So do not participate or even associate with them in the rebelliousness of sin. So this is an incredible thing, an incredible statement again about you know, look where you're getting your energy from, right? Look where you're getting your energy from, right? And we all need energy. You've heard me say it before. We all need love and to be loved. It's kind of like the gasoline we run on. We're like cars. You got to have gas to get somewhere. We all need love to love and be loved. That's like a requirement, right? The question is, where are you getting your gas from? what station are you buying your gas from, right? And so Paul is really focusing in here and just letting us think together, you know, for this 40 minutes about what that is today. You know, so getting it from the Lord. Did I have more scripture on that one, Twyla? Good. Let's do that. So how do we live now? Whoops, I'm going to fall over here. How do we live now going into the positive? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Okay? For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, okay? And basically letting your lifestyle be examples of what is most acceptable to Him, your behavior expressing gratitude to God. So again, he's simply saying, let the ways you're operating and talking with other people and sharing be thankful to God at core, and then have it reflect that process as you're talking together, right? Let the richness of what God is doing be the thing that comes through in the conversation, what you're talking about with people. You know, let His presence, let the good things He's doing, let the joy and the passion, you know, and the prudence of what He's saying, let that be that thing which the treasures that you're sharing about, right? Because that positivity about what God is doing really enlivens our spirit, soul, and body. It's like it brings life to us, right? It brings life. I mean, you all know sometimes you get in conversations with people that unfortunately are caught in a very negative thing, right? Something bad has happened and they're caught in that, and maybe they just can't get out right now, right? Or maybe they've made it a habit. They've chosen to be that way, right? And there's all sorts of people on that continuum. And so you know that when you come out of that conversation, you feel drained. It's like you feel drained. You feel like there's a lot of negativity going on. It's like there's a lot of things happening, okay? And again, at some points we get caught in that, and that's okay. But we want to be stepping into that positive place where the energy of God comes forward, and then the conversations are thankful to the Lord and blessing Him and affirming what He's doing and stepping into new things as He directs us and bring them that way. So incredibly good stuff. All right, keep going, Twyla. Do not participate in the worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is disgraceful even to mention the things that such people practice in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light of God's precepts, for it is light that makes everything visible. So again, you know, Paul's telling us that one day every deed is going to be visible. So folks that are in darkness, that are doing bad things, usually want to hide those things because they want the general public to think good of them, right? We all want that. We all want the people to think well of us, to have a good reputation, okay? And that's a good thing when it doesn't become too big to override what God is saying, right? But people try to hide the bad things they do. And so Paul is basically saying, you know, people try to hide those, and we get that, but it's not going to work forever. When God opens up ultimate reality to us, it's like there will be no hiding. Every single thing we've done will be apparent. Therefore, we as Christians basically should be wanting to live as if everything we do is known. And that helps us focus on doing true good instead of simply trying to get something for myself in the process, right? So when we remember and understand that God is God, He's so much higher than us, and everything we do will be made known one day. That just gives us more incentive to try to be clean and positive and healthy and powerful in good ways, right? And so, you know, great reminder for us just to live in God's energy and power and to step into that. All right. Let the Lord's energy come through. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Let's stop there. So again, Paul kind of juxtaposes here getting drunk with wine, okay? And again, I think drinking in moderation occasionally is fine. That's my place on it. It's far more important where you're going with your spirit than it is, you know, whether you drink or don't drink occasionally. But Paul basically says he juxtaposes wine, kind of that physical inebriation or getting drunk, with the spiritual. And he almost like says it becomes so powerful that it feels like being spiritually drunk. But it's good, right? It's like the opposite of being drunk in the flesh. It's being filled with the Spirit and feeling so good because of the presence of the Lord is here. So he kind of puts them together, you know. And that is true. I mean, there are times in worship. I remember we did, Byron, I think you were there when Jesus Culture did that conference down by O'Hare. Remember with that 8 or 11 minutes of worship that we did?
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a bunch of us that were there. I don't know, Mike, were you there? Do you remember?
It was in the Sears.
Yeah, it was in the big Sears Center down there. I don't know what they call it now.
I don't think so.
It was like 17,000 people, right?
Yeah.
And it was the last night of a conference. It was Bill Johnson was speaking that night, and the worship set finished. The worship team, and it was good. And basically, the leader of the meetings got up and said, "We're just going to worship the Lord together." And he held the mic up, put his hands in the air, and basically nothing from the stage. And basically, out of the crowd started coming like the chanting / singing of the theme song of the conference. And it just built. It more and more got involved. I was looking around. Some people were kneeling down. Some people were standing, jumping. Some people were just quiet. But everybody was in their own space with the Lord, right? And it went on. And so they had to start the drummer to get control of the meeting back because the Lord came on everybody. And it's like, we didn't want to come back. The drummer started at about 5 or 6 minutes in because they had to close the meeting at like midnight to be able to get everybody out because the contract was done. They had to clean it up and get out. And so they were a little bit, they weren't impatient, but they just had the schedule they had to work to, right? We didn't want to come back, remember? Yep. The drummer starts at about 5 minutes and the crowd ignored him. The crowd just went right over him because we were with the Lord. It's like the Lord was here in power at that place, and we're not going to come back just for a human schedule. You see what I'm saying? And that's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. But it was powerful. But the drummer just kept going and would then had to start breaking up the rhythm of the crowd. And again, they had to come back, so we respected. But it took them probably 11 or so minutes before the crowd basically calmed down enough that they could then start doing things from the stage again. But it just was one of those memorable times where it's just like you felt like you could be in that place forever. It's like you felt like you could be there. You were just worshiping the Lord. Everybody was in their own space in a great way, but we were together, and you just felt the glory of the Lord descend. And so this is the places we love to be. This is the places we want to be at together as we meet. These are the places that we want to see the juice of the Lord happening, right? Not just the communion juice, but the spiritual juice, right? The spiritual good stuff of the Lord. So we're excited about that. All right, let's continue on because it's about 25:2. So households in Christ, we're going to go to number two. So the first was living purely, kind of talking about our personal orientation, right? What we get our energy from, getting our energy from the purity of the Holy Spirit, His framework, and the presence of the Lord. Now we're going to kind of talk about relationships. So households in Christ. So now we're going to talk about that. So and the first one, obviously, Paul talks about in Ephesians is marriages. Marriages are healthy with mutual deference to each other under the Lord, in the Lord. Okay? So Ephesians 5:21 through 28. Being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives must be subject to their husband in everything. So again, you know, the first thing he talks about is they should be mutually submissive, or, you know, and submissive has a bad connotation, and it doesn't just mean just give in on everything, but it means be genuinely trying to work for the betterment of both, right? Be genuinely trying to work for the betterment of both, and taking a contributory posture. Like, I'm going to contribute to the good things that are happening. I'm not going to dictate what I think the good things will be, right? So being submissive and loving and caring and trying to work together for what God is up to in His presence, that's the glory of being of the marriage. That's the glory of the things that are working together in the Lord, right? That's the glory of that. So that is the marriage thing. And then he kind of sums it up. Did I not finish that? Is there more? Yeah. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So, you know, basically, husbands, love your wives. So love them in order to assist them in coming towards purity in the Lord. Right? So it's not a love them in order to try to get something from them, but it's to love them so both of you together can ascend towards the Lord and how you're operating. Love them so that you can be moving forward in God's presence and His glory working through you. So figure out how to work together in a dynamic, awesome way. It's a great thing. However, each man among you is to love his wife as his very own self, right? With behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. And the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband. Okay, and the Amplified says that she notices him and prefers him and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear. So again, it's God calling out the best in us, right? It's like work together to be the best you can together in the Lord in the marriage. And again, this reflects God's love for, God's love for us. I mean, we understand what it is to be loved by our parents when they first love us, our siblings, those around us that we care for, right? And as we get older, we start understanding more and more options in our mind about what love looks like and what it does. And so working together on these things is pooling our resources to see how God loves us and cares for us, and then how we understand more and more as we operate forward. I mean, it's like we have a lot of seasoned veterans in this room, and it's like you understand that even if your body is going down, it's like your spirit, in a way, is more and more alert as you get older because you see more things happening out there and you understand them because you've gone through them. You've understood how when people live certain ways, this is what they end up in the end. When they walk with God, it's like good things end up coming to them because they're putting themselves in a place to receive God's goodness and His care. And so putting yourself in this place of the marriage being contributing together towards the kingdom and working together to love and care and cherish, right? This puts us in incredibly great places in the kingdom of God. This is the great things that happen. All right. Ephesians 5:33. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So he kind of sums it up in there. It's like, the husbands, love your wife and give yourself and care for her, but the wife must respect her husband. So, of course, that's its own set of things as well. And so God is calling us towards a greater places and to continue to work on coming into greater places together, especially in marriage. All right, let's go on to children. Children should respect and obey their parents. So again, this is all part of Ephesians 5 and 6 now. Paul is talking about the outworkings of what does it mean to walk with God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'm reading the NIV here. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. So again, the right situation is when we honor our father and mother, when we listen to them, when we respect them, when we care for their position, when we honor the fact that God, kind of gave them charge over us for a period in our life, and they're always our father and mother, no matter what the age is, then we put ourselves in a place to let God's power come through that and then enliven our hearts, enliven our spirits, enliven what we're up to, enliven our living, enliven our relationships. We put ourselves in that place to let His grace and His incomparable power move through us so that good things begin to happen in relationships. Okay? It's not a guarantee because God gives us free will, right? He gives me free will. He gives you free will. He gives my kids free will. He gives every person free will. And so we have the choice to short-circuit things, but to the extent I can do it, to the extent you can do it, we honor our parents, we love them, we care for them, and children do the same. And it's like, and we put ourselves in a place to receive God's grace and His mercy and the great things from Him. We put ourselves in a place to be rejuvenated and enlivened by Him. Is that a word, enlivened?
Yes.
I think it is. Thank you. All right. Parents should not incense or infuriate your children. Okay? Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, NIV, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So he's basically saying, parents, don't press your children more than they're able to deal with at any one point, right? Yes, your responsibility is to train them how to live well, but don't press them beyond what they can deal with at any one point. You know, don't continue to try to push them so hard that they never get rest, they never get the rejuvenation, that they don't sense that you love them and care for them and you have their best interests at heart, right? And of course, the same goes for mothers, right? Although mothers are generally more gentle with children than fathers are, perhaps. I think that would be a generalization that would apply most of the time, right? So parents, don't be too hard. The opposite would also be true. Don't be too soft. You know, we need to encourage our kids to step forward and to achieve. And it's like we don't just want to make things a comfortable place where they don't have to put out effort to do anything or to become anything. No, we want them to achieve. We want them to become powerful in their own right. And so sometimes that's an encouragement to grow, to improve. And so we want to have that happen as well. God wants each of us to really step forward into our maximum potential. So sometimes that means, you know, we encourage our kids to come forward and to be able to do something. So we love that framework from the Lord. All right. Employees should work well for their bosses. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Okay, so again, I'm not going to go ahead and read the scripture if you want to pop it up, but it's in Ephesians. So it basically says, you know, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. But basically he goes on and says, you know, don't simply work for them, but work for your heavenly Father, because essentially you're working for him. So they're saying employees, you know, change your perspective and don't just try to do the minimum necessary, but try to do a genuine job for the Lord as best you can in any employment, right? And so that's an important thing. And then he goes on and says, you know, God is the big boss over bosses on earth. So essentially, bosses on earth should basically be careful for their employees. Try to do the best you can for your employees as well as yourself. Try to find the net. Try to find the net win, right? And Ephesians 6, 9, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. And so each of us have a different place in life, and we're to maximize what God is doing in that place. I'm not responsible to make decisions for my boss, right? I can give perspective if he wants or if it's appropriate or whatever, or if it's helpful, right? But I'm not responsible to make decisions. At the same time, he's not responsible to make decisions for me in terms of how I operate with the Lord. It's like, you know, I have the power as an employee to do a good job and to serve God and to bless God with my work. And the boss has the opportunity to try to honor and respect God, to do the best for all of us together, right? To find that common ground, to find that great place. And so, again, here's where the juice of God comes in. Here's where the energy of God comes in the process, when we're thinking about things this way. All right, continuing on. Revel in the power of the supernatural. Shelter in the protection of God's supernatural power. Now, this is, and go to the scripture, Twyla. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Let's see, Lord, should we or not? Yeah, we're getting a little short on time. But let me just say that if you don't understand what it means to be to supernaturally protect yourself, head back home and read this, Ephesians 6:10 through 17, right? So this is called the armor of God, and I'll just give you the quick summary. And just in the interest of time, I don't want to go too far. But this is how you pray and think to protect yourself, to maintain your connection with God and connection with the supernatural, right? So you put on the armor of faith, right? And so go back and study this and then begin to pray this for yourself. And most of you all know about this stuff because we talk about this a lot. And yet it's crucial because God gives permission for the enemy to attack us all the time here on this earth, right? That's the nature of living here in this rebellious world. And so these are the spiritual the spiritual armor that basically brings, allows us to have God's power protecting us as we live. And so we're not simply subject to other people's decisions. We're not subject to fate. We're not subject to bad things always happening, right? We don't have to stay with the demons harassing us. We can step into God's power and His grace to really drive through those things and break through those things. So go back and memorize, really, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And then let's talk about attacking godlessness with supernatural power. So again, you know, in this last section, Paul is basically saying, you know, we were talking about relationships, you know, purity, and we're talking about relationships. And now he's really talking about staying in the supernatural. You know, revel in the supernatural. The first is protect yourself. We just talked about that. Now he's basically saying attack godlessness. So in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, and I'll read it up here. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition for all God's people. And so he's basically saying at all times be praying to God and then hearing from God what He's doing, so you're always operating with that in mind. Always be operating with God's presence in mind. You know, whatever you're up to, always try to be operating, connecting with Him, blessing Him, and operating with His connection. And when that occurs, good things begin to happen. And pray for me. That's Paul, that words may be given to me when I open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news, that's of Jesus, of salvation in Jesus, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And pray that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly and courageously as I should. And that applies to every single one of us, right? I mean, we're called to share the good news of Christ. We're called to demonstrate that so that we put words to what people may see in us, right? So, you know, sometimes we preach the gospel without talking. Other times we absolutely have to talk to identify what's happening to people so they know that it's Jesus and not us. You know, Helen is really good about that. People will compliment her like, how did you know this about me or whatever? And she will say, well, that's Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the one who's talking to me about that, right? And it's like, so she's identifying to them who's the big one in the picture. And that's exactly right, because we're really trying to bring praise and honor and blessing to God. You know, when we let people praise Him and bless Him and honor Him, right, that's awesome. And He in turn gives us energy and juice and love and care. So He's made it so it all flows together in a massive, beautiful way. It's an incredible thing. And so the last part is basically attacking godlessness with the supernatural power. So basically we've talked today about Ephesians 5 and 6. We've talked about the presence of God. And first is that, you know, get our energy from God. Stay pure, right? Be pure so that His energy and power come through us, right? Then we talked about what it looks like in Christian households. We talked about, you know, marriages. We talked about children, parents. We talked about employees, employment, working for people, right? And how God wants to work in those areas to really bring His grace and His glory. And then we basically talk about, as Paul talks about, and this church is very good at, is stay in the supernatural. Stay in the supernatural. Be aware of what's going on in the supernatural and let that be, you know, the impetus and the drive for what we're doing, right? So it's like put on your armor, protect yourself in Jesus' name, so that you can become confident and powerful, and then go after, you know, pray in the Spirit about all sorts of things to go out there to spread God's news, to spread what He's doing, so that His love and His power are reflected. And so we kind of have a summary here in Ephesians 5 and 6. We kind of have Paul, you know, essentially giving us kind of like you know, quick commentary about what it means to actually live out walking with God, to live out being Christian, to live out, you know, the framework of what it means. And so this is great, great practical advice, but I hate to say practical because that, I don't know, to me that seems a little small. it's really a dynamic way of living is what it is. It's really a dynamic way of living. And this is again the place where his power, God's power and his grace and his love come into us in massive ways when we do these things. And so Michael, if you want to head on up, I will just pray as we conclude here. So Lord, thank you for your scripture. Thank you that you gave us in words and in clear English in this case. You gave us your heart and your presence. You gave us understanding and mercy. You give us the scriptures to chew on, to think through, Lord, to understand, to share together, to be able to speak together, to have conversation about what you're saying, to hear your heart coming to us through the scriptures. And so, Lord, as always, we welcome you speaking through what's been said today. We welcome your truth. And I pray again, Lord, that you would interpret what's being said to each person here. Give them that incredible fillip of just that little nugget of treasure, of beauty, of confidence. Give them that nugget of who you are and a new revelation today, Father, because we only exist, Father. We eat your food. We eat who you are. It's our food and it's our life, is your word and your presence. It's water to us, Lord. It's the sweet mountain sparkling stream that's so good to drink. Father, your word is that to us, and we just bless and acknowledge that today. And Lord, I pray that for many today, even outside of this community, that are seeking you, and maybe they don't even understand, who you are yet, that you would reveal yourself in nature. Let them see you, Father, in the sunset and the sunrises and the beauty of nature and just the things that go on, the gracefulness of the deer, Lord. We just pray that they would see your heart and your presence. And Father, we pray too that those people that are seeking you would have conversations this next week. They would hear sermons on the radio or cable. Lord, that they would have a Christian that says something to them that piques their interest, and the conversation begins about what the kingdom of God really is and what the being in the presence of God is. Father, that you would just have that attraction for many of those people of a conversation about you. What does it mean to walk with God? You know, what does it mean to walk with God? What are the joys of walking with God? That conversation would begin to flow, Lord. And so we just, our hearts just go out to, Father, those people that are caught in difficult situations, that are caught between belief and unbelief, Lord, that are caught in victim places. Our hearts go out to them, Lord, and we just ask that you would give them the entree. You'd give them the door into a new place with you. You'd give them a door into being a victor. You'd give them that door into seeing you at work in their hearts and their lives. And stepping into that, stepping into faith, hope, and love, stepping into a more structured life in you, so that the victimness begins to disappear and the victory in Jesus begins to appear more and more. And so, Father, I pray that you'd invite many this day into that place. I pray you'd invite many this day into that place, that many people would come to you. Lord, your kingdom works below the political level, usually. Okay, it does affect the political, but your kingdom comes, like Jesus says, you're not going to say, here it is, there it is. It doesn't come with pomp and ceremony. It's not like political ceremonies that establish your kingdom and move it forward. But it's people's hearts moving towards you. And so we pray that today you would move many people's hearts towards you. That many people would be struck by your presence and your power and your glory. That they would want to be allied with you. They'd want to come under your banner. They want to come under your presence. So, Lord, we just give you praise and glory and honor today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for inhabiting this place. Thank you that you are the center here. And we love to be in a community around you, just enjoying the nectar of your grace. We just give you praise and honor and glory, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
This is Pastor Todd again. Thank you for listening to the message today. I pray the Lord uses it to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Once again, that is tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the TGP podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.